Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Good evening. Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin tonight here on 98.7 ESPN, along with my five dogs, as you can hear them barking. But here's the thing. And whether you live in New Jersey, whether you live in New York, you know what happens at 7 o'clock, right? Everybody opens up their windows and they take either a frying pan, something that's going to make a lot of noise, and you scream and you shout and you yell outside your window for all our frontline workers. And that's exactly why my dogs are barking. So this happens every night at 7 o'clock. So, again, Anita Boxen for Chris Carlin tonight, along with my five dogs, broadcasting. Hey, we're in a pandemic. This is how we roll. Broadcasting from my living room. So on occasion, you'll hear a bark or two. Sorry, not sorry. 800-919-3776 is the phone number to get in. We've got a good show lined up for you. I'm excited to be in for Chris tonight. First things first, we got Joel producing the show back at the studio in New York City. Joel, good evening. Hi.
Good evening, Anita.
So partook in the 7 o'clock celebration in honoring all our frontline workers?
I would say, yeah. I participate in spirit, not a frontline worker, but I'm busy working at that hour.
Okay.
Yeah. So while I'm not a frontline worker, you know, in spirit, I'm shouting for them, but on the air, I'm actually kind of quiet.
Right. I think it's become like the favorite time of the day for my dogs, actually, to be quite frank. And then we have Kyrie, who's working the phones, and Jacob as well, working on the show. So, a four man show. I'll call myself a man. I don't care. Tonight.
You are the
and
man.
And with you, you're sweet. And with you until 10 o'clock. And a lot to dive into. I do want to kick the show off in regard to what's going on with the Jets. We have Rich Cimini, sound from Rich Cimini, him talking about what's going on with Jamal Adams, as well as Bill Polian was on the Michael Kay show earlier today. So we'll get into that. Connor Rogers, who covers the Jets and the Giants and all things NFL for Bleacher Report, is going to jump on board around 7:30. We'll get an update. John Heinous, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly. He's with the Hudson City View. He's going to jump on with us. He's got an update with DeAndre Baker. We know that he was arrested for counts of all kinds of horrible stuff that's taking place down in Florida, out on bail right now. And John had spoken to his attorney, Brandon Cohen. So we've got an update in regard to DeAndre Baker in this first hour to find out what is the latest with DeAndre Baker and what we can anticipate happening as teams are getting closer, NFL teams are getting closer and closer, of course, to OTAs. And will he be a part of it once the Giants are given the thumbs up in regard to players getting back in house and getting ready for the season? Also, a good friend of mine, Rob Dibble, is going to join us in our second hour to talk some Major League Baseball. One thing I do want to dive into tonight, because June 1st seems to be like the date that we're going to find out more about the other leagues, whether it's Major League Baseball or the NBA, and their game plan for starting the season and how they're going to move forward. And we know Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association, they're still discussing what can be done, trying to come up with an agreement moving forward, because they're going to be losing so much money, anticipating that there will be no fan base this year. And also the NBA looking to pick up where they left off to try to get the postseason done, because if they don't, a ton of money, we're talking billions of dollars, that is going to be lost for both leagues. So Dibs is going to jump on board with us and talk some Major League Baseball. And then golf is finally back. And, you know, it's pretty wild in regard to the numbers. I want to say 2.32 million people watched the Skins tournament, between, of course, you had Rory and DJ going up against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. 2.32 million people tuned in. It just goes to show you, like, we are just starving. We are so desperate. We're licking our chops for any type of live sporting event. And so many people tuned into that. It was really great because the last six holes, the Skins played over. And so the last hole was worth $1.1 million. And then they tied hole number 18. And, of course, if you recall, it then went back to hole 17, which is a par 3. And who got closest to the pin? Rory was closest to the pin. I want to say I read that he was 13 feet from the pin, where Matt Wolff was 18. So it came that close in regard to naming a winner. But this coming Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, this coming Sunday, you've got the Tiger and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady at Medalist, which is hands down one of the most difficult golf courses in the world. And so we've got Mike Adams, who's the instructor. He's known as the Swing Doctor, and he's the top instructor at Medalist, and he's Tiger Woods is taking him for a few lessons. So he's going to be joining us and kind of breaking down the match too. Here's another thing. And if you know anything about me, you listen to my weekend shows, you know I like to gamble, not a lot, not a little, but a lot. And there's all these great prop bets. It's not just about putting money down on who do you think's going to win, but it's all these prop bets on each hole. Who's going to have the longest drive? Who's going to get closest to the pin? Who's going to be up after the front nine? Who's going to be up after the back nine? So that's a lot of fun. We're going to dive into all that the third hour. So, we're going to span the globe, talk about every sport, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, golf. And have some fun with you guys tonight. Again, phone lines will be open throughout the night, 800-919-3776. So let's kick it off first and foremost with what's going on with Jamal Adams and the Jets. So here's where it really gets interesting. And I came across this pretty interesting stat today. Okay. Let's keep in mind that Jamal Adams just completed his third season in the NFL. And so since 2011, okay, follow me here. Since 2011, only 16 of the 223 first round picks have received new contracts. Let's marinate. I like to marinate. Let's marinate in that for a minute. Since 2011, only 16 of the 223 first round picks have received new contracts after their third season. Very small percentage. Okay? And the most recent is Christian McCaffrey, running back for the Carolina Panthers, right? Who was drafted, by the way, two spots after Jamal Adams. You know, I love Jamal Adams, by the way. I think he's fantastic. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And I think he is and could be in the future, continue to be the face and the vibe and the attitude and the persona of this Jets team, let alone this Jets defense. And I think it would be a huge, huge loss for the Jets if they were to trade him. Okay? But here's the thing. There's a reason why the NFL and their collective bargaining agreement negotiated rookie deals the way that they have. If you recall, go back to when, like, you recall when rookies were making what, 60, 70, 80, what, $120 million before they even threw one pass or took one step onto an NFL field? Well, collective bargaining agreement, new rules, negotiated a new deal so that the veteran players would have, you know, would get the bulk of the money and the rookies would have to earn their money the first 5 years. So, and the majority of them have the 4-year deal and then the 5th-year option. And also there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this because there was a salary cap, and in order to, for teams, when you look around the league and you look at teams who win Super Bowls, it's because you've got general managers and you've got money guys who plan accordingly and draft well and are able to ride out their rookies into their 4th and 5th year, paying them, you want to say, next to nothing. The highest paid safety in the league is Eddie Jackson with the Chicago Bears. He makes $14.6 million per year. This coming year, year 4 for Jamal Adams, he's going to be making $3.5 million. Okay. In 2021, his fifth year option, he will be making 9.9. And the Jets have an opportunity to tag him in 2022. This has been put in place, and this is what was negotiated so that teams could have a talent like Jamal Adams, whose skill set is going to hopefully help the Jets make it to the postseason, let alone maybe win a Super Bowl, paying him those type of numbers for his first four or five years of his contract. It's in place to help the teams have, if they draft well, which obviously the Jets did with Jamal Adams, to have the opportunity to have this type of talent who they drafted well perform for them for next to nothing so they can spend money in other areas that they are more in need of and can potentially put together a roster, a full roster with depth, because you need depth to win in the NFL this year, not just this year, but every year. And so for Jamal Adams to want to be the 17th player to potentially get a new deal after his third year does not bode well. And listen, you know anything about Joe D? I know Joe D from Baltimore. I don't see this happening. I don't see a new deal happening. I would not want to see the Jets trade Jamal Adams. I think he's that great of a talent. But I'll be honest, you know, it's hard because his talent, is he deserving? Yeah, you know what? I think he is deserving. I think he's a top safety in the NFL. But at the same time, these rules, this new agreement with the collective, this was put in place so that teams would be able to get the most out of their draft picks for the first 4 or 5 years. It's very interesting.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It goes through phases, right? Because, you know, they were focused on the draft and free agency, so I think it was on the back burner. And, you know, Joe Douglas did say a couple of times publicly, you know, once we get through the draft and that stuff, we'll get in touch with Jamal's representatives and we'll start talking about this, which they did. They've had multiple conversations since the draft. It's just that there's this fundamental difference in the timing of a potential new deal. So, guys, I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon. I think this is going to be, I think it could get uglier before it gets better, and I think it's going to be around a while.
Listen, two-time Pro Bowler in 3 seasons, I understand why Jamal Adams wants to be paid more. But again, there's a reason why this deal is in place with the collective bargaining agreement. It's so that the Jets could benefit from having an exceptional draft pick in Jamal Adams and pay him a lower amount of money, a lesser amount of money, for his first 3-4 years of, 4 or 5 years of his deal. We're going to get your calls in just a second. But first, 98.7 ESPN and Stu Leonards wants to salute the brave and hardworking heroes during this pandemic. Over the past week, we've asked our listeners to nominate a hero who deserves a first responders gift box from Stu Leonards. Remember, if you'd like to purchase a gift box to send, head to stusgifts.com for every first responder. The gift box they sell, Stu's will donate $25 to the American Red Cross. So now let's hear from Melissa from Staten Island, who nominated her husband, Jerry. So, Melissa, welcome into 98.7 ESPN, and congratulations.
Hi, thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your husband, Jerry, and exactly what he does and where he works?
Okay. Well, my husband, Jerry, is my hero. He is a FDNY firefighter with Ladder 12 in Chelsea.
Okay.
He recently graduated from the academy this March. I actually would like to salute the whole recently graduated FDNY class. Jerry and his fellow classmates were forced to graduate 2 weeks early to fight COVID-19. It's a shame they didn't get to celebrate their hard work and dedication with the graduation ceremony like all of the classes before them. I would also like to shout out his firehouse, Ladder 12, for all their amazing efforts during this pandemic. And, of course, I would like to thank not only my hero, but all the heroes out there, all the first responders and frontline workers. And thank you to you guys for the gift box, too.
Melissa, thank you so much. And big shout out to Jerry as well. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, it's really unbelievable. You know how, and I've been through, well, first of all, let me rewind. Born and raised in Miami, have been through a ton of hurricanes, went through Hurricane Andrew, which just threw Miami out of whack for a good 2 years. And one thing that I experienced during those very difficult times and what I'm experiencing now here, going through a pandemic in, let's be honest, one of the worst areas in the country, I feel like we live in a petri dish sometimes, is people coming together and the kindness and the love and the generosity. And, it's just, I think it just makes it really, really special. So, Melissa, thank you. And, Jerry, thank you for, what you're doing for everybody. Really appreciate it. 800-919-3776. Let's listen in. This is Bill Polian, by the way. Again, he was on the Michael Kay Show earlier today, talking about the Jets and should the Jets pay Jamal Adams now or should they wait? This is what Bill Polian had to say.
Well, you're trying to hit the sweet spot in between. The agent is probably threatening all kinds of dire consequences if they don't do something now. It's exacerbated by the terrible tragedy that we're facing in our country. The benefit here to the club to sign him now is that you'll have less dead money at the end of it, because the likelihood is, let's say it's a 5-year deal, the likelihood is that he plays all five at a high level. So that's the benefit of doing it now. They don't have to do anything at all. With a player this good, you probably bend over backwards to try and get it done.
So again, that was Bill Polian on the Michael Kay Show. Let's take your calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Ira. Ira, welcome in. How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you, Anita? And very nice word you said, and good job by Melissa and all the firefighters, that's for sure.
Absolutely. God bless.
Yep. With the Adams situation, Alan said it earlier. I just wish he would do this behind closed doors. I understand that he deserves whatever he has coming to him in the future, but I understand the Jets' point of view, and I think Joe D is going to play it smart to the best. The only thing that I'm worried about, I heard Richard's report. I do think this probably will get uglier before this thing gets resolved. Hopefully it doesn't get to a point where it gets fractured. We'll see how it goes. But I'm hoping that it will be a Jet for long, and we'll see what's going to happen. And just real curious, I know you had that Baltimore ties, and I know Flacco's career. I was actually hoping with Gase's connection with Matt Moore, they would have brought him as a backup. And, listen, that's been Sam's here for 2 years, and he's gotten hurt. I think it's good insurance they signed Flacco, but just curious, between Flacco and Matt Moore, would you prefer one or the other?
Yeah, I Ira, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. So for folks who don't know, I spent 4 years in Baltimore, and my last 2 years was when they drafted Joe Flacco and Ray Rice. And so I got to know Joe extremely well. And I'm a huge Joe Flacco fan, I'll tell you that. A few things that I can tell you about Joe Flacco. Number one, great, great quarterback mind. So I think he's going to, this is Sam's, third season, right? Third season. Not that Sam needs a lot of help in the quarterback room from what we understand, right? Everything I hear is that he's got a photographic memory, but just to have a guy like Joe Flacco, he's just a good guy. And I do believe that Joe will be coming in knowing, of course, that he's the number two and will help Sam Darnold in any way possible. And he gets it. His football IQ is very high. And so I think he's going to help the quarterback room immensely. Number two, what I really loved about Joe Flacco would play hurt, injured, in pain. He's the grit. He gets it. He's a blue collar player, Joe Flacco. He's all about family. He's all about team. He's all about digging deep. I like him. I like the signing. I think it's great. I think it's a win-win situation. Obviously, Joe D knows him from his time in Baltimore. And he'll be able to come in and support and help Sam Darnold in any way possible. And he's just a good dude. You know, he's not a guy who's going to be in that quarterback room that's itching for the opportunity to one up Sam. You know, he's going to come in, he's going to know his place, he's going to know his role. He's going to respect that. He's going to respect the players. He's going to respect the coaches. He's going to respect Sam, and he's going to help. And so, I love the addition of Joe Flacco to that quarterback room for sure. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Andy in Miami. Andy, hey, what's up?
Oh man, getting you on a Friday night. This is like a gift from the gods. Happy Memorial Day.
Hi, happy Memorial Day to you too. Or weekend. Happy Memorial Weekend.
Happy Memorial Weekend, and it was wonderful hearing you talk about first responders. And I was a first-year law student at University of Miami, living about 3 miles from the falls, so I remember that August very well.
When Hurricane Andrew hit?
Oh, yeah, really close to Country Walk.
Andy, I mean, and so this is interesting. So Andy, obviously from Miami, Andy was in Miami during Hurricane Andrew, and I kind of used the analogy. You remember how everyone kind of the feel and the vibe after Hurricane Andrew hit, and probably for a good 6 to 9 months after that, Andy, just everybody was just so gracious and so nice and so kind and so giving. And that's what I'm experiencing up here in New York and New Jersey. I just, it's such a horrible situation that the country's in, and New York and New Jersey have it the worst, in the country, of course. But it just seems like the kindness is exuding right now from everyone. And it kind of makes it a little bit easier to handle.
No, I agree. And Anita, if you remember what it was like without power, I just remember at night being so scary because Kendall, which is probably around where you were at that time too, Kendall was a very wooded area without a lot of lighting at night and with no power at night. I just remember like the National Guard was patrolling and I was so thankful for that. And I was like, wow, where would we be without our first responders? So yeah, I definitely have flashbacks to that, and great thanks to our.
Yeah, there were some people, Andy. We were very lucky. My electric grid was hooked up to a Walgreens, and so I was able to get electricity back in like 6 weeks. But I have friends who didn't have electricity for 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah, anyway. I had 3 months, and it was August, so it was hot.
Yeah. Anyway, this is you're in my own personal walk down memory lane. You wanted to comment on Jamal Adams. What are your thoughts? What do you think the Jets need to do?
He's a star. He's a star, and you and I had a debate. I think I was your first caller back on your Saturday show when you came back from the pandemic, I think that the same thing about Tua. I think he's a star, and I think Jamal Adams gives you other qualities, and I'm sure, you know, he can be a pain in the neck, but he's got a swagger about him. And sometimes guys with a swagger are worth it. And I'm going to come back to a theme I've had with you before about Gase. I loved Jay Ajayi. I loved Jarvis Landry. It drives me nuts, even if they're not superstars with Cleveland and the Eagles. I mean, Jay Ajayi got a Super Bowl ring. And it just drives me crazy that, like, the star players never seem to work well with Gase. I don't understand why the one game Le'Veon Bell didn't start because of an injury. They ran the ball 32 times, and all the games that Le'Veon Bell started, they underused them and ran it like 15 times. And Jamal Adams is the best player on the defensive side, and I'm not going to say it's all Gase, maybe more of it's Joe D. And yeah, I do think it's a little unseemly in a pandemic, like the promo with Alan Hahn was saying. But boy, there's a swagger with that kid. And even if you trade him for a late first round pick, I'd rather have Jamal Adams in the salary cap hit because I just think he's a leader. And I keep coming back to this theme with Gase that for whatever reason, the superstar players or the big players on the team do not mesh with him.
Andy, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. You know, it is kind of wild that we're sitting here and we're in this pandemic and over 40 million people are unemployed. And Jamal Adams and the Jets are going back and forth in regard to the difference of $3.5 million and possibly making anywhere in the area of 14 to 15. Because I would imagine Jamal Adams wants a new deal, like most guys who want a new deal, who are of that caliber of player, want to one up the guy who's making the most. And as I said in the first segment, Eddie Jackson, safety from Chicago, the Bears, is making $14.6 million, just to kind of give you an idea. Will they meet in the middle? Will they not meet at all? Will he be traded? This is what we're talking about on a Friday night of Memorial Day weekend.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
The message that you want to say, this is me speaking, by the way, and I don't want to, yes. I don't want to do the Jets business. But the reason for doing it is to send a message to the rest of the ball club that, hey, this is one of our best players. He does everything we ask him to do. He's a leader, and we're going to get him done. We're going to pay the best players.
Again, that's Bill Polian, and he was on the Michael Kay Show earlier today communicating what he would do if he was running the Jets. By the way, this portion of the show brought to you by the New Jersey Lottery. Get a bucket list? Well, okay. Now imagine if you won $298 million, mega million jackpot. Taking a mega chance could mean making your wildest dreams a reality. After all, anything can happen in Jersey. Wow. Imagine winning $290 million in the lottery, especially during a pandemic. God bless. Wow. Unbelievable. Without further ado, Connor Rogers joins us now. You can see him all over Bleacher Report. Connor, hopefully everything with you and your family, you are all healthy and safe.
Everything is good over here, Anita. Thank you so much for asking. Obviously, hoping the same for you. Everyone's healthy. Everything's good. And there's even a little bit of football news going on as we hit our Memorial Day weekend here.
I know. Could you believe it? Well, first things first, because I opened up the show with what's going on with Jamal Adams and him wanting a new deal. Here's my stance on it. I'm curious if you agree with me. There is a reason why owners agreed to the new collective bargaining agreement. Of course, not this one, the previous one. Before, if you recall, remember when rookies were making like $140 million before they even took one step on an NFL field? It's so that teams who draft well, and let's be honest, the Jets drafted well and drafted Jamal Adams, and now get him on the cheap. If you think $3.5 million or $9.9 million is cheap, get him on the cheap for the first 4 or 5 years of his contract so that they can spend money elsewhere and help teams win championships. This is the way that it goes. I understand him wanting more money, but only after, like, here's the thing. I could see the Jets paying him after this coming year. I could see the Jets paying him before year five, but before year four, especially during a pandemic, I would not do it if I was Joe D. I'm curious your thoughts on this.
No, I think you're very spot on there, Anita. I think the problem is both sides have their fair arguments in this, right? On the Jamal Adams side, you can argue that last year he was the best safety in the NFL. He's 24 years old. He feels, and I agree, that he's the face of the franchise right now as we wait for Sam Darnold to break out. And he feels that, you know, obviously he should be paid as the best safety in football. Now, what you just said is the very key point for the Jets. This is a collective bargaining agreement that Jamal Adams should not be disgruntled with the Jets. He should be upset that the CBA has put him in a position where the Jets have team control here, Anita, for quite some time. I mean, they're paying him, what, $3.5 million this year on a rookie deal, then the fifth-year option. And then, let's be real, the number to franchise tag a safety is not very high, and the Jets can do that actually two times. Now, it won't come to that one way or the other. It really, really won't. And the Jets want him here for a very long time. Make no mistake about it. You're seeing all kinds of things, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's rumors that date all the way back to the trade deadline of trade rumors and the Cowboys and all of these things. Make no mistake about it. The Jets want Jamal Adams here for a very long time. They don't want this to develop into a Darrelle Revis situation all over again. There is fear from ownership about something like that. But like you said, it just might be a year early. I think if this was next year, and we also don't even know what Jamal Adams wants. Does he want to be the highest safety, you know, highest paid safety in the NFL, where he's making about between $15 and $16 million a year, breaking Eddie Jackson's mark, or does he want to be paid in the $18 to $20 million range a year? You know, as just an overall superstar on defense, that would really blow the current safety market out of the water. But for the Jets, I think they're going to have, they don't see a problem in paying him. It's just that right now, it seems like Adams' representation is really, really pushing for this thing even before the draft, where Joe Douglas had to address that he will look into it after the draft. And during the pandemic right now, they don't seem to be interested in discussing financials or feel the need to.
And that's another thing. I mean, you know, in looking around the landscape in regard to like all the other sports, and we saw what happened with Blake Snell in Major League Baseball. I'm not going to pay for, I'm supposed to make $10 million this year. I'm not going to play for 3.5 and on top of it, risk my life to contract COVID-19 if I play. Like, you know, I totally understand the player. And I totally understand their desire and their need and their want, and not to say that they're not deserving. It's just in this economic climate right now, or lack thereof, it's just bad optics. It's a bad look.
Yeah, and I think also the issue at play here is, too, this would be pretty rare, what Jamal Adams is asking for. I saw ESPN had dug up a stat that, you know, what is it, 16 out of 200 and something players have gotten this contract after the third year. It just doesn't really happen very often. And a lot of people are going to sit there and go, well, the Panthers just did it with Christian McCaffrey. It's a little different because of the position at running back. So I think that's something that it's not common for a defensive player. It's definitely not even, you know, really ever happens for a safety. So I think for Adams, it's a scenario where you look at it and go, yes, he's the face of the franchise. The Jets want him here. But I think there has to be some kind of patience set in place here where the expectations that this thing is just going to get done in May right now, it's just not very realistic at this point. Like you said, the optics of it, you know, I'll be honest here, Anita. From info I've gathered on this subject for quite some time, there are people in that building for the New York Jets, a lot of different people, whether it's front office people, whether it's coaching people and players, that they don't know how badly Jamal Adams wants to be a Jet for life. They truly don't know. And they're trying to make sure that he does. And when they feel confident that that's the case, they would love to offer him the contract to be here for a very long time. So let me
ask you this, though,
yeah,
Connor.
Go ahead.
What is the hesitation? Is it the coaching staff? Is it New York? Is it the ownership? What are they questioning in regard to his desire for wanting to be a Jet for life?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, number one being that, you know, there is a feeling that he's expressed, you know, interest if he does leave going to the Cowboys, because he is from Dallas, Texas, which a lot of people understand. I think that's a very big one. I think the Jets have simply just had a losing culture for quite some time now, and that's not Jamal Adams' fault. He's the reason they win games a lot of the times. He's been very, you know, vocally frustrated at losses at times, and obviously sometimes that can bother teammates, because it's not like these guys aren't trying, but they are simply a rebuilding franchise right now with a 22-year-old quarterback and a coach that, you know, has certainly struggled. There is no denying that at all. But I think they're, you know, they want to make sure that the patience is there, and I think that'll all blow over. I think that'll be fine. But I definitely think they want to see him be the leader of this rebuild, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Again, Connor Rogers joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Connor, I apologize, my dog was interrupting you, but I'm hosting the show from my living room. And my windows are open, and he's trying to communicate with the neighbors. The other news today is Joe Flacco signs a 1-year deal with the Jets to come in and be the backup quarterback. Now, I spent 4 years in Baltimore. My last 2 years were with Joe and Ray Rice and that team. And I can't say enough wonderful things about Joe Flacco. I love the guy. I think he's great. I think he's perfect for that QB room. I think he's going to be great for Sam Darnold. Curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I know there was definitely some things going around about, you know, he was a little disgruntled when Lamar Jackson got there. And that's just because he was somebody that felt like he could still start at a high level. I don't think it was any personal grudge towards Lamar Jackson where you have to have any concern about Joe Flacco coming in and being bitter that he is simply signed to be the backup behind Sam Darnold. And, you know, that's simply the case. There is no competition here. There's no chance at that. he's somebody that they want, you know, him once he's cleared for contact to be the clear cut number two. And Joe Douglas comes from multiple places where there has been an emphasis on the backup quarterback, including a guy named Nick Foles that happened to win a Super Bowl while Joe Douglas was in Philly. So Sam Darnold, unfortunately, has missed time in both of his first two NFL seasons. And Joe Douglas is somebody that comes from a team building philosophy that you need a number two quarterback in place. And if they needed any more proof of that, they got that with Luke Falk starting three miserable football games for them last year. So this is a good signing by the Jets. It's a low cost signing by the Jets. And once he's cleared, it gives you a lot more comfort at their backup quarterback spot heading into this season.
Connor, before we let you go, just switching teams here for a minute, I have John Hines, who's going to be joining me from the Hudson County View, who spoke with DeAndre Baker's attorney and has an article out in regard to DeAndre Baker. I'm curious, what's the latest? What have you heard about him and his situation?
Yeah, there's been all kinds of different things going on with this, and it seems like, you know, there might be even a chance that this case could be cleared. I'm sure he's going to speak to the legality aspects of that. What I'm curious to watch is two things here, Anita. Assuming that, you know, there's a very good chance that those significant charges that came out do not end up really going down and going into effect, where DeAndre Baker will have to still go through an NFL investigation side of things, and we'll see if he's suspended on just the NFL aspect, not the criminal side aspect and the charges. And number two, most importantly, there's a new coach in there, Joe Judge, that seems to be a pretty stern guy. And DeAndre Baker is going to have to really, really claw back an opportunity to be that focal point that the Giants are hoping him to be. I mean, they went out and gave James Bradbury a lot of money. They have a lot of young players looking to get in there to compete. And DeAndre Baker, if everything is dropped and he's cleared, and forgetting the fact that the NFL will have to look into this as well in a possible suspension, he's most importantly going to have to earn back the respect of his coaching staff and teammates.
Yeah, from what I understand, DeAndre Baker is not even allowed to participate in the Zoom right now.
They don't. That's their choice.
Joe Judge is like, you handle your stuff in Florida. No Zoom for you, dude.
Yeah, it's not a good start with a new coaching staff for DeAndre Baker.
All right. Connor, thank you so much. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Try not to get that mask tan, because now that's the new thing we have to worry about this summer is our mask tan.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to avoid that. Always good talking to you, Anita, and have a good weekend. All right.
You got it. You got it, Connor. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin tonight on this Friday night, Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody out there has a good one. I know, very different than what we're used to, that's for sure. Without further ado, John Hines joins us. He's with the Hudson County View. John, welcome in. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, Anita. Thanks for having me. I'm doing about as well as could be given the circumstances.
Yeah, right? So I wanted to have you on. A very good friend of mine, Wendy Paul, friend of ours, had turned me on to your article in regard to DeAndre Baker and the fact that you were able to speak to his attorney, Brandon Cohen. So if you can, kind of start us off there. What is the latest? What have you heard after speaking to his attorney?
Well, just to clarify, Anita, he actually has two attorneys. He has that Mr. Cohen that you just mentioned, but I actually spoke with Mr. Patrick G. Patel. And he's out of Jersey City, and I don't know him. I mean, this is the first time I spoke to him, but that's how, you know, we got connected. We're a local news outlet that deals with Hudson County. So anyway, with that being said, he is Mr. Baker's attorney in NFL-related matters, and he had some interesting color to add to this situation regarding alleged aggravated assault and robbery. And, you know, I'll just read you the quote. I mean, right now, it's just a warrant. There's no veracity to this claim. Everyone's rushing to judge about the kid. Baker was only there playing Madden. That's like going to rob a bank, but first sitting down with a teller to fill out a loan application. He brought his Madden game to the property, brought his controllers with their chargers, logged it, and played for an hour before this ruckus went down. So, you know, obviously a very different picture than what law enforcement is painting, has painted up to this point.
That's for sure. I'm not going to say, like, I'm not a big Madden. Like, I don't play video games. I don't play them because I'm horrible at them, and I don't like to be horrible at anything. But like, is that a thing? Like, is that a thing where you like, you bring your own Madden and you bring your own video controllers to a party to play? That's interesting.
I mean, it's a thing. I mean, one of my actual roommates from college, he's like ranked like the 1% of the world in Madden. He's like ranked in like the top 300. So yeah, people definitely do it.
So he walks around with his controllers?
I don't know if he walks around with it, but I certainly would not put it past him to bring it into any number of venues.
You know, John, I'll be honest with you. Like now, I'm like again, I don't play video games, so I would imagine like so you play a video game, and if you're like the best 1% of the country, is it like I don't play as well at a golf course if I don't have my clubs. So I guess it makes sense. I guess like if you're a really competitive Madden player, you want your controller. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. I mean, I'm not like any kind of Madden stud either. I mean, I'm okay. I could win a few games on normal. That's about
That's
it.
More than me. So all right. So where does it stand right now? Because for DeAndre Baker, and I read your article, you know, it sounds like he's in a pretty bad place right now. He's home with mom and dad. He's pretty depressed. Joe Judge, the new head coach of the Giants, won't let him participate in any Zooms to try to get ready, you know, from that social distancing, you know, the internet experience for a lot of these players trying to get ready for the season until this is cleared up. So did his attorney give you a timetable in regard to what's going to happen?
Yeah, there was no timetable. I mean, you probably realized that earlier in the day he pleaded not guilty. And I'm actually reporting from ESPN, coincidentally, said that there's been four witnesses in the case that have all recanted their story, you know, and that was obviously an interesting development, needless to say. And there's also now a fifth person that is saying there was some sort of robbery, but that, you know, these two football players, obviously DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar, were not involved. So, you know, obviously we're going to have to wait and see what the Florida State Attorney General is going to do. I mean, they still have not brought the formal charges. This is an arrest complaint, my understanding, through both multiple media reports and through Mr. Patel. So, you know, if they're going to, we still really don't know what's going to happen, whether this goes before a jury or how this is going to proceed, or if they just drop the case completely.
It's one of my dogs. I'm broadcasting from my living room. let me ask you this. A last question for you before I let you go and you know, you could get your Memorial Day weekend started. And that is, because of the pandemic, how slow are court proceedings right now? I'm curious. Like, I would imagine that things are really backed up. I would imagine, no?
I mean, yeah, like, so from a, you know, a New York Giants perspective, I suppose, or a New York Jets, I guess, too. But, yeah, New Jersey, I could tell you that the courts closed at approximately mid-March, and they just opened up virtually, and not universally, but some courts, like I know Jersey City is one of them, they have, you know, people actually doing court proceedings for lesser offenses on Zoom. But, you know, obviously with that platform, you could only see so many people on a daily basis, and you know, the more major offenses still aren't being heard at all. So if you feel like we've been on lockdown here in New Jersey for about 10 weeks now, 9 or 10 weeks, and I would say throughout that time you've only been able to hear, you know, a very small percentage of cases for maybe two of those weeks. So yeah, things are definitely backed up, and I can only imagine, really I can't even imagine how they're going to resolve it, you know, once we finally are able to go places in person.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for your insight and your information, John. Really appreciate it here on 98.7 ESPN.
All right. Thanks a lot. Stay safe, Anita. Thanks for having me.
You too. You too. And have a enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Like I said, Buddha, Emmanuel, Ruben, Chris, I see you guys. 800-919-3776. We get back. We kick off hour number two. Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin. You want to jump on board and talk about Jamal Adams. Also, curious, what are your thoughts about Joe Flacco joining the quarterback club for the Jets and also DeAndre Baker? Any concerns in regard to this Giants defense? Is it just doesn't look like this is going to get settled anytime soon. And with a new coach in town, Joe Judge, homie not playing that, not allowed to participate in the Zooms. Wow. This is the world we live in right now.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Regardless of what the issues are, the players are just much easier to blame than the owners. And I heard it all the time in 94 during the strike, even though we didn't ask for any more money. We were just asking that the free market state in which the game operated under at that time stayed that way. And basically all everybody said was, you know, the players are greedy and how much more money do they want? So they're just an easy target. Now, having said that, I'm not saying that the Players Association and the players should cave in on anything they don't believe in. I think they have 100% right in being concerned, A, about the safety protocols that have been discussed and will continue to be discussed. And I think they have a 100% right to be concerned about a revenue sharing proposal, because that was, in essence, the whole fight in 1994.
That is Tom Glavin talking about the situation with Major League Baseball. By the way, this portion of the show brought to you by the New Jersey Lottery. Got a bucket list? Well, okay. Now imagine if you won the 298 million mega million jackpot. Taking a mega chance could mean making your wildest dreams a reality. After all, anything can happen in Jersey. Without further ado, good friend of mine, Rob Dibble, joins us on the show. He's got his own show Monday through Friday in Connecticut. Kicking butt and taking names, and occasionally I'm on it. So Dibs, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Anita.
Good, good. That's a positive, especially during these times. By the way, I'm not sure if you're aware, but it was just reported from Georgetown that Patrick Ewing has been tested positive for COVID-19, and he's in the hospital right now down in the Washington, D.C. area. So,
well, we hope that he makes it and a full recovery and stuff, too, because he's like me. He's getting up there in age and stuff like that, and if you have any kind of underlying things that can be bad with the COVID right now.
Yeah, I want to say I read he's 57 years old.
Yeah.
But let's dive into some Major League Baseball talk and where everything stands right now. So as we know, Major League Baseball came to agreement back on March 27th, a deal with the players in regard to $170 million guaranteed. The players can distribute that any way that they could. And they can't sue Major League Baseball, what have you. And then things went from bad to worse. And now Major League Baseball is trying to renegotiate another deal, where they're going to play half the games in regard to a full season. And of course, you know, we're hearing that players aren't down with it. They feel that, you know, that they came to an agreement back on March 27th and they don't want to negotiate any longer and they don't want to make less money, especially when you're talking about a league that was going to kickstart and there's going to be a lot more health issues than a Tommy John surgery. So I'm curious, Dibs, first and foremost, your thoughts on where everything stands right now with Major League Baseball.
Well, the audio you played coming out of break was Tom Glavin. And in 94, I was a player rep for the Reds. He was on the executive board where there's like 10 players that get back to the other 28 players, because there was 28 teams back then, and they tell you what's going on. The owners haven't come up with a proposal yet, and from what I understand, they haven't even given it to them for this weekend. They're going to wait till Tuesday. And that puts more pressure on the players to try to quickly negotiate a deal, get it done by June 5th, and then make their way to the spring training site so they can get ready by the middle of June, end of June, and then start in early July. So, you know, everything the owners do is to make the players look bad when it comes to negotiating economically. Putting a 67-page thing together where there were no doctors involved in the protocol, and I have doctors on my show every week. I have infectious disease doctors on my show every week. And, those are the people that should be designing the protocol on how Major League Baseball comes back, things you can control. And Tom Glavin also said that he believes, and I also believe this, they should do the games to start from Arizona and Florida. They're smaller complexes. You can control more, and you could keep them cleaner and disinfect them quicker than you can these major league stadiums in different cities. And then the players don't have to travel as much. They can almost In Arizona, they could definitely take their own cars. In Florida, maybe there's a couple of long trips where you want to take a bus, but for the most part, you want to try to control this. So if a couple of players test positive, you quarantine them quickly, get them away from the other players, and don't infect the rest of the team. But, you know, Major League Baseball, unlike the NBA is more of a players' league. They're going to have a bubble. They're going to have these guys that are in close proximity. They're going to test them often, just like the major leaguers, but they're not going to travel. They're not going to go all over the place to play their games, which will be able to control the virus and basically, you know, keep it down, tamp it down as much as possible. There's going to be guys that test positive. That's just that's the law of averages. But you want to try to keep it to a minimum. You don't want to infect the rest of the guys. But the economics, I truly believe, Anita, they'll work the economics out. But it'd be nice if the owners would hand a proposal to the Players Association so they could at least digest it over a long weekend going into next week.
That's for sure. You know, very interesting. I'm with you. So a few things that you said. Number one, are players, whether it's Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, are players going to come down and be tested positive for COVID-19? Yes. There is just, this thing is like wildfire. This thing is just so contagious. There's no way, especially we're talking sports, okay, bodily fluids, the whole thing. There is just no way that a league is going to go through. Even, like, here's another thing. PGA, the PGA Tour, I know we've got Tiger and Phil and Brady and Peyton going at it this Sunday, but like the tour is expected back in June in Fort Worth, Texas. Like, even though that's an individual sport and there's no contact, I'm still anticipating a golfer to come down with it. So, yes, I think you're absolutely right. It's not about will a player contract COVID-19. It's how the league will respond to it to contain it so that others will not test positive and the play can continue without a hiccup, right? And this is going to be the norm until a vaccine is created. And I know we're all really hopeful that a vaccine will be created in January and then hopefully distributed, you know, sometime after that and whatnot. But for right now, this is what it is. So I'm with you that I think that, that there should be some type of bubble arrangement, whether it's, okay, you've got teams playing in the Florida area and then you've got teams playing in the Arizona area. Now, based on, you know, and I looked this up today, like cities that have like the biggest outbreak, the most cases, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Philly, Washington, areas with the least amount of COVID-19 cases, Tampa, Texas, San Diego, Oakland. So, you know, again, it just makes sense to me that they should create these two leagues. Not three. I think there should be like two leagues, you know, make it the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League and have them. I know, listen, it'll be a different season, put an asterisk next to it, whatever the case. But if you want to have any type of season that's going to be broadcast and when I know we're all in agreement here, there's very likely to no way will there be fans. To me, this is that would be the safest way to get it done.
Well, and you nailed it, because the one thing the owners have more of in their home stadiums is advertising and their home networks. They don't have to put more cameras in. If you do the spring training stuff, you're going to have to add cameras. You're going to have to spend some money on cameras and you're going to, you know, are you going to have the broadcasters on site? Are you going to do like ESPN's doing with the Korean League, where you have the broadcasters in another country? You know, they're not even in the same area code. So, you know, there's some logistics that they should have already figured out. But of course, Major League Baseball likes to drag their feet. And so here we are, you know, you're about, what, 6 weeks away from possibly starting the season back up and playing 82 games. They want to add more teams to get more revenue in the postseason, which I agree with. That's fine. You know, you're trying new things and stuff like that. But, you know, give the players a little nugget here, maybe for safety. You know, maybe the players will give you back on the economics. That's the way it works. And the problem with the owners is they never want to negotiate in good faith. You know, and this is what I'm talking about with not handing them an economic package until after the Memorial Day weekend. They're waiting till Tuesday. You know, that's the kind of garbage that they pulled back in the 90s when they locked us out in 90. Then we had to strike in 94 because we really played without a contract in 94. And then they stopped paying the pension fund. And we weren't gonna stand for that because there was guys that were pre-70s retired that were living off their pensions. And so that's the kind of stuff that they pull that nobody ever sees because nobody cares. You've got so many unemployed. You got people standing in food lines and stuff, and the players get that. But they also want to negotiate this in good faith, get it done, so they could concentrate on where am I going? Do I have to rent a place in the city where I'm going to play? Am I going to play in a different city? What about Toronto? Toronto might not be able to play. You know, some of these other stadiums, like you said, if I'm a player, I don't want to go to New York to play.
No,
that's
trust
one of the hot
me.
Spots, you know?
No, trust me. You don't want to
yeah,
come here.
Yeah, Detroit, Chicago. So, you know, for me, it's common sense stuff, and they don't do that. Like I said, the 67-page report. And, you know, no offense to Chris Young. I know he went to Princeton. I know the other guy was a biochemist. That's great. But you're not experts on this stuff. And so it could have been like 3 pages long. Where you just say, okay, listen, you got to take your temperature in the morning. You got to text that. That's what we're doing right now at work. You text your temperature in. Then when you get to the stadium, they take your temperature again. If anybody's over 100, boom, you're going home. You're going to be quarantined. Just simple stuff, you know, instead of, well, you can't use the facilities. You can't use the sauna. You can't. I mean, it's just it's a lot of, like, nonsense that if you just cut through all of that stuff, you know, are we going to play baseball or are we not? And that's what the players – there's a lot of simple-minded players, the routine guys. You have so many different languages to worry about. I remember back before we were even drug testing, just like the social drugs you couldn't take, you know, amphetamines and marijuana and all the other stuff. You know, it was basically less than 50 things because it had to be translated in 10 different languages. So Major League Baseball doesn't think like normal businesses do. They think like, well, this is our business, and you need to catch up. A lot of these players won't understand a lot of the protocol, and that's what's going to trip them up.
Rob Dibble joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Just to list some of the things that I'm reading that potentially how the season is going to be very different for a lot of these players. Some things that are on the table. No clubhouse, meaning you arrive to the ballpark, kind of like how we are when we go play like our softball games at night. Like you arrive to the ballpark ready to go. And when your game is over, you leave all sweaty and gross and smelly and you go to the bar and you have a drink. But they're probably going to tell their players no to quarantine right after the game. No, don't go to any bars. No mound visits. No dugout, no pitch change in the dugout, no spitting, no right. tobacco, no sunflower seeds, very little to no media. Games go into the 12th inning, and if nothing's decided in the 12th inning, then they end in a tie. No first or third base coaches. Again, I mean, just like a few of the things that I'm reading in regard to like how the season's going to change, Dibs. I mean, it's just wild, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's not necessary. If you're watching the Korean games, which I watch every day, and then I watch the replays.
Do you gamble? Dibs, do you gamble on them?
I don't. I'm not compulsive like you and Ben. No, I don't do that. But I might start if I have to sit home and watch any of it because none of them could throw over 85 miles an hour. But they have their coaches. They have their coaches have masks on. Some do, some don't. But like I said, you've got to be accountable for yourself. And, you know, they're still doing fist bumps and stuff, but it's not as much and prevalent as it used to be. I don't see anybody spitting seeds or chewing tobacco, so they probably cut that out, which I don't think would be a hard thing for the players to deal with. But, you know, the players want to be as normal as possible when they're entertaining people. They know there's not going to be fans, but there's going to be people watching. Could you imagine? No first base coach, no third base coach. You know, it's almost pointless then. Don't play. You know, that's part of the game. They have jobs that they're doing out there. And just be like.
Not that you guys listen to them anyway.
No, but the guy's 10 feet away from you. You know, the coaches aren't anywhere near anybody. I mean, when somebody goes to first base, is the first baseman not going to stand near the bag? I mean, that's just, it's ridiculous. So these are some of the things that they're doing to cover their butts. And I understand it. I get it. There's insurance stuff, whatever. But you can't take showers at the ballpark? I mean, that's ridiculous. You're going to go back to a dirty hotel and take a shower? You know, you could disinfect the stadium, the place, a lot better than you could a hotel room. So, you know, some of this stuff, I don't understand why they thought to go there, other than the fact that, you know, hey, we gave you 67 pages of stuff. Like you and I both said, someone's going to get sick, and they need to not go to the field. They need to stay in their hotel room, and that's why you have the 30-man roster. Then you have 20 on a taxi squad. You know what I'm really kind of worried about is the minor leagues, Anita. I mean, baseball needs.
I heard there's not going to be any minor leagues. There's not.
Yeah,
there's. They're going to have. They're going to have
guys.
They're going to have expanded. They're going to have expanded rosters and no minor league.
Yep. I mean, these guys, their hopes and dreams are based on playing this summer, and they're not going to play. And that to me is just it's terrible. I mean, if you're not going to use Florida and Arizona, let some minor league teams play. But my God, some of these guys are going to lose jobs because they didn't play right now.
Two things before I let you go. Number one, I was reading up on this today. I found this really interesting. Keep in mind, back in 1918, although some people think it's 1917, back in 1918, the Spanish flu, 675,000 Americans died. Did you know that Babe Ruth had the Spanish flu? Did you know that he contracted the Spanish
flu?
I just found out that today.
Yeah,
and
he played
one
Hartford,
player,
by the way. He played in Hartford in a charity game.
One player missed the 1919 World Series because of not feeling well due to the symptoms of the Spanish flu. One Major League Baseball player died. One died. But many, many sports writers and umps and other workers associated with the game died.
Oof.
So just FYI, I was reading up on that today, 1918, the Spanish. I didn't know that Babe Ruth had the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And we have a caller who's been holding on for quite a while. I want to bring him on. He's got some things to say about Manfred. Steve, welcome in. You're on with Anita Marks and Rob Dibble.
Hey, thanks so much. I think I'm in agreement with Mr. Dibble and you, Anita. I think Rob Manfred has done a terrible job. He should be negotiating with the Players Association behind the scenes, not float something to the public and set up the players to look bad. Why would he want his employees to be look bad to the public? He's done a terrible job. I can't imagine Adam Silver throwing the players under the bus and saying, hey, you know, he should be doing all this behind the scenes and coming to an agreement. And I'd like your guys' opinion on that.
Steve, thank you for the phone call. Dibs, final thoughts?
Well, my thoughts on Manfred is, listen, he's pretty much a puppet for the owners, and he does all their bidding. And, you know, it's not really to make the players look bad. They have a collective bargaining agreement coming up after next season. So this is just really setting the table for what they're going to try and do next year. But, you know, there'd been labor peace for a couple of decades. I don't mind that there's a little strife. I think it's good for these modern players to maybe do their history. I know you know the history. I know the history because I lived it. I lost $1 million during the strike in 94. So, you know, to me, Manfred doesn't promote the game properly. He doesn't promote the great young stars like the NBA and the NFL do. So, yeah, I agree with your caller. I mean, you know, Manfred should have been replaced a while ago. And, you know, the fact that they even consider letting A-Rod buy a team just shows you how clueless and tone deaf they are at the league office.
You rock, my friend. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Appreciate your time, especially on a Friday night.
All right. I'm going fishing this weekend, so wish
you
luck.
Nice. Again, like I said, be careful. I was on your show earlier today. Be careful. Hashtag pandemic problems. We've got to deal with that mask tan, that face mask tan.
All right, you take care.
Take care. You got it. Again, Rob Dibble joining us here. Anita Marks with you in for Chris Carlin tonight here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.